This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by my appearance tonight on Tucker Carlson Tonight. You can watch that live, or you could head on over to youtube.com/JasonRants afterwards, and we will send you, or we'll post the video for you to watch and talk about how I'm having a particularly great hair day.
That's what the Tucker segment is about?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm doing a reporter-style hit on my hair.
Huh.
Actually, I'm doing it on the topic we're about to discuss right now, so just push the button.
What's trending at home?
Gas prices could potentially be as high as $10 here in Washington State.
They jumped quite a bit. The last time they jumped about 40 cents a gallon for me.
Eastern Washington gas stations are starting to run out of fuel.
I mean, I did get a new job that involves me driving a little bit more. So I'm a beverage rep, so I'm driving all over.
And we have a governor who refuses to get involved, even though right now he could put a pause on the gas tax.
And all that money would just go to the oil companies. It's not going to go into our pockets. They will just turn around and increase their prices. They know where the pain point is. They know how far they can raise the price and still have us buy gas. And they will raise that cost to that point, which is where it is right now.
Oh, my gosh. The amount of dumb that comes out of Jay Inslee's mouth is astonishing. Now, this is not just an issue that is hitting Washington State, although we did just hit a record high for gas. Record high gas prices here in Washington State, the average being $5.18 a gallon, but as many of you know, because a lot of you sent in photos today at my request, it was a little bit of free show prep that I needed for Tucker Show, and I needed photos. You're spending way more than $5.18. How much was it at Bonnie Lake gas station today?
$5.18 was what I paid.
$5.18.
That's what I paid for premium at Costco.
Unbelievable, and that's at Costco.
Yeah, I think the photo I showed you $5.89.
Was it 589 or 559? I can't remember what it was.
I only look at premium.
Yeah, but it's ludicrous how expensive it is. There was someone in Seattle sent me a photo, it exceeding $6. Now, that's not the norm, but we're clearly heading in that direction. And when you look at the numbers across the country, as Matt Egan from CNN explains, and we chose this clip in particular, because even CNN is talking about this.
At last year's prices, households spent an average of $2,800 a year on gasoline, according to Yardeni research. But at today's prices, the annual rate would be $5,000 of spending. So this is a big deal for household budgets.
$5,000 a year spent on just gas for your car. And again, that is the average. Some of you are going to have to spend more than that, depending on what it is you do for a living. And we've got a gas station in Auburn that is resetting the price boards to accommodate double digits for fuel prices potentially getting to $10 a gallon, according to a report. And it's hurting people like Kenneth Leach from Union Gap. It's right by Yakima. Back in 2019, he was diagnosed with leukemia. He travels with his wife, Nicole, from Yakima to Seattle 3 times a month for medical care. And he's doing his best to remain positive, talking with KAPP.
You got to keep your sense of humor and not let it get to you. Because if you let it get to you, it's just going to throw you in deep depression. And it's going to be that much harder to get through it.
And so imagine trying to stay positive with your health outlook when you now find yourself in a position where you are spending a ton of money, money that you don't have, to travel to a city so you can get the health care that you need in order to stay alive.
$120 every time we go there and back. And then with gas going up, price of food, price of everything goes up. So it's just that much more expensive. I had to have a bone marrow transplant. And for me to have the transplant, my wife had to quit her job and take care of me. We have no more retirement now. And then we have a trial date for disability.
That's insanity. And yet he can't catch a break from a governor who refuses to put a pause on the gas tax because he wants you to believe that there's price gouging going on, because he doesn't want the Democrats and Joe Biden to take any responsibility for the situation that we're in. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And there's no end in sight. Quite the opposite. I know Democrats are now pushing, I can't even remember the name of the bill, like the anti-price gouging bill. And Kim Schreier, who's a doctor, if you didn't know, definitely not an economist. Oh my God, I hope she's a better doctor than she is an economist. Because they think that with this legislation, they can bring down the price of gas because they want to pretend that price gouging is going on. There's no actual evidence of price gouging. Or if there is, they're keeping it to themselves. Now, I suppose it's possible that for some reason, the key information that they could release to actually make their point is being held back on purpose. I mean, I guess there's a possibility. Kind of seems like it's unlikely. Kind of more seems like you don't actually have any of the evidence. But they're saying that the president would have the power to unilaterally stop any type of unfair prices on the American people. But when you do that, and it is an indescribably stupid idea, but when you do that, you end up impacting the gas stations to the point where they might not be able to stay open at all. Because if they are, how does a gas price at the pump get determined? Any ideas? You've got the price of crude oil, right? And you've got the whole process before it actually gets to the gas pump in deciding at least the base of how much you're going to spend. Okay? So after that, it gets to the gas station. Does it cost money to get to the gas station? Do they have to pay for that gas? Or is it free?
Jason, nothing's free.
Exactly. They have to pay for it. And so if the price to actually take oil and turn it into gasoline goes up, well, guess what also goes up? The cost of the gas that you're purchasing and putting into the gas pumps for customers. What's also somewhat ironically going up? The cost of the truck powered by diesel fuel, which is through the roof, to get said product to your gasoline station. Then you get there. You have to have some sort of profit, right? The market conditions, the supply-demand issues at play, that will help indicate how much you're going to pay or how much you're going to charge as a business owner at the pump. This, ironically, hurts them. The higher the price at the gas station is, the less profit they end up making. Why? Where do they make a lot of their money? Most of these gas stations, not all of them. Where are their markups? Where are they making profit? Any idea?
The products inside the store.
Ooh, like the sodas.
Sodas.
And the candy.
Yes.
That has a huge markup for them, especially the beef jerky. You're like, how is this beef jerky $10.99? We running out of cows to dry up and season?
And that's the small pack, the $10.99 one.
I know. Believe me, I do. I love beef jerky. But that's what's going into this. And they can pretend all they want that has everything to do. Oh, it's because of Ukraine and price gouging. Pick a lane, man. Because even Inslee, in his statement yesterday, well, you know, it's due to the war in Ukraine by Russia, but also, you know, other factors. Okay. Supply, though, has no impact on this whatsoever, right? It's just Russia. It's just Russia. Yeah, we got it. It is insane. And it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. And that means you're going to hurt. Thank God we've got an election coming up and we can start to at least course correct. The question is, how much suffering does there need to be between now and then? 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation. 1-800-465-8770. That's how you send me your text messages. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants, twitter.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
I don't understand what Eric Adams is doing. I honestly don't understand what a lot of these Democrats are doing on the left as it relates to abortion. I get that they want to sound the alarms and get more women to be enthusiastic about the upcoming election. When you saw what happened over the last couple days, the election, the primary on Tuesday, and then some of the results that came in even yesterday, it showed a tremendous, tremendous amount of enthusiasm coming from Republicans, not from Democrats. And so Democrats see the overturning of Roe v. Wade as a potential issue to get more women who traditionally will vote Democrat to the polls. But a few, maybe a little bit more than a week ago, Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, said this while at the Roe v. Wade, whatever they were calling that rally to support abortion.
Mayor Adams, do you think there should be any limitation on abortion?
No, I do not.
None, day of birth, totally fine?
No, I do not think. I think women should have a right to choose their bodies. Men should not have that right to choose how women should treat their bodies.
Okay. So we did this, I think, on Monday. We played some stupid audio from a stupid person saying stupid things about how you could abort your child even if they're 2 years old. And we questioned, okay, maybe did she not hear the question? Was it misleading the question? Is this a gotcha? Okay, so he's at that rally. Maybe he didn't understand the question completely. So he went on today. He went on CNN and decided to just double down on that same crazy position.
No, I say, and I continue to say, and I stand by this, women should determine what they're going to do with their bodies. I just believe it's unbelievable that men are making these determinations. Women should determine. The overwhelming number of people on the Supreme Court, I don't believe they can deliver a baby. So what? Women should determine.
Wait, what? I don't believe. But some can't deliver a baby? Do you mean literally?
Yeah. They can't get under center and deliver that baby.
Or did he mean give birth? That's just a weird thing. The vast majority can't even deliver a baby. Okay. Okay, we got it. Thanks.
I mean, what they're going to do with their bodies. I strongly believe that. And I'm not taking a Gallup poll to make that determination. It is something I believe from seeing the women who are in my life, my mother that passed away, my two sisters and others. They should make the determination of what they're going to do with their bodies.
Up until 9 months. Up until the birth of a child. Is that now the position of the Democrat Party as a whole? I know that they tried to... Dummy, what are you doing over there?
I have nothing.
Yeah. I know that they are... And they did try to pass that bill that allowed for up to 9 months. But you can maybe write that off and say, well, that was just a virtue signal. They were just doing this. They knew it wasn't going to pass anyway. They didn't pay attention to the details. Okay. But it would certainly seem like now officially the line from the Democrat Party is abortion up until the birth of a child. Who is that supposed to win over? Because even people who are pro-choice or pro-abortion don't believe that. How many pro-choice people in your life, Producer Peyton, do you know who would endorse up until birth? Not the first trimester, not the free, not, you know, 30 weeks even, 9 months.
Yeah, no. That.
Who holds that position? And I mean no that one. Honestly. What normal person holds that position? I'm not, and I'm saying normal people. I'm not talking about the lunatic fringe. I'm not talking about that. And I'm also, by the way, when having these conversations, there's a lunatic fringe on our side. The ones who think even masturbation is somehow wrong and immoral because it doesn't support life. I'm not talking about that. What normal human being holds a position up until 9 months? None. You know why? Because if you hold a position up until 9 months, you are not a normal person. You are then at that point basically saying, yeah, I support murdering a child. That is murder. Again, I understand intellectually, even though I disagree with it, but I understand people who support abortion up until 15 weeks or whatever cutoff you have. Like, I get it. I understand. Disagree, but understand. This I don't understand. This I don't understand at all. And don't try to proclaim that this is a mainstream position at all. It's not even a mainstream position in the Democrat Party. It might be the position of the Democrat Party, the leadership. But let's be clear. That is an insane position. And it should be called out by everyone as insane. And yet, of course, no real pushback over at CNN. Oh, yeah, that seems totally reasonable. You know, actually, it should be up to 9 months and then an additional 9 months after. You know, you just got to play it safe. Something could happen. Maybe the kid develops asthma or bad eyesight. You know, you might want to just end it then because that could be a lifetime of suffering through glasses and wheezing. Why should we not assume that that would be next? I mean that legitimately. Why would we not assume that that's the next logical step for these people if you believe that the abortion should be kosher up until the baby starts to cry? Or into maybe some of the first wails. I mean, come on. That's insane. Absolutely insane. Push the button.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
Speaking of insane, get your butts back to the office. Don't do what the New York Times just did. Oh, we have some more COVID cases, so we're not going to have people go back into the office. They were supposed to go back on June 6th. They've now pushed it indefinitely because in New York they're seeing an increase in cases. So we're never going to get out of this then by their logic at this point. I now know quite a few people who have had COVID two times. You know some people who have COVID two times.
Yes.
We all now are starting to know people who've had it two times, which logically would lead you to believe that they could get it how many times? At least?
At least two, potentially a third.
Probably a third, and then?
Maybe even a fourth?
Uh-huh. And then?
A first.
No.
You're
going the wrong direction. Well, you skipped five, but also six. And maybe they can get it every single year. Maybe. And just go with me for a moment. How many times have you had the flu?
The flu?
Yep.
A couple. I don't know. I don't keep track of how many times I've had
it. Because you've had it a lot.
Sure. Yeah.
A couple. Yeah, a couple maybe in a season. People get the flu all the time.
Oh, I'm super immune to the flu.
People get the flu all the time.
Yeah. No, very common.
All the time.
A common flu.
Do we shut down our workplace and our economy because of that? No, of course not.
Maybe we should, though.
No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't. The New York Times is wrong for keeping their reporters and journalists who are pretending to be, you know, decent human beings and nonpartisan. They're wrong for keeping them out. We have to get back to life. We just have to. And let's stop pretending that COVID is going to kill you if you get it. The vast, 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 vast majority of people are fine with COVID. And we're only going to truly get to the kind of immunity that you would expect if more people get COVID. You've already got a vaccine. You've already got drugs that have shown to actually work to cut down the severity of COVID. What in the world are we doing? What are we doing? When you're not in the office, you're not working the same. Shut up. Stop pretending that it's harder to work at home and you're working even more hours, which in part, I believe, your days are longer. I love this. And I know I've made this point before, but it's worth repeating. We had this movement from younger folks mostly of like the work-life balance. Remember all those articles in The Atlantic and The Wall Street Journal about the importance of a work-life balance. You shouldn't have to take your work home with you. You're supposed to have a clear separation. It makes your life at home much happier because of that. And there was this once movie, remember Tim Ferriss and the 4-day work week? I will not respond to emails after 5 p.m., no matter what. Even if it's an emergency, I will deal with it tomorrow. And now we've gone into keep the work at home. Don't make any separation whatsoever between work and the office. And because you're not doing the same amount of work at home under the same amount of time, guess what? Your workday then gets extended. Then you're actually doing more work at home. And psychologically, you have now connected how you feel about your job, which some of you loathe, with your home. You know what you're not supposed to do in bed? Work. Why? It's only supposed to be there for sleep and And you're supposed to get your mind to your brain to understand that, which makes it easier to and easier to fall asleep. But now you've got work, which means you're not sleeping well and you're probably not ing all that well either. And I know a sex shop in Bellingham that does sex coaching. The school board director of the Bellingham School District can do coaching if you have some problems with the ing.
You've been to the classes?
No, I looked it up online. I don't need any help. Why? Because I don't have anyone to with. I'm talking about going to dinner. What are you looking
That's
at?
What that is?
Yeah.
So sleep and go to dinner
in
the...
Oh!
Yeah, the
Oh, no.
That's the sound of a bed squeaking in many languages.
Oh, okay. That's my bad. I did not mean that. That's not what I meant. This is a G-rated show.
Stupid.
Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. It's a groovy little song.
Very groovy.
Who sings it? I picked it out, and I don't know. I think it's a, what's that Led Zeppelin? Not Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin is a band, yes.
No, the wannabe one that Darren likes, our production director.
I don't know what music Darren does and doesn't like.
It's that band that sounds like a old band. That's all I remember. It's a good
was
song,
it the
though.
Band that we talked about last time?
Yeah.
Greta?
Greta Van Susteren.
I think, I don't think.
From formerly of Fox and ABC, who might go to Newsmax. Oh, Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one.
They're better than Greta Van Susteren. Well, can they really provide political analysis the way Greta could? Don't know. Interesting news out of the Everett Herald. This is an actual headline. And it's slightly different online than it is in the newspaper. The front page of the Everett Herald today says, Edmonds bans people from living outside. Oh, okay. Really? Did they? Wow. Are there any people living out? Did Edmonds just solve homelessness by just simply banning it? Wow. Here's the subtitle of the story. The criminal law is unenforceable if no shelter is open within 35 miles. The city council approved it over public outcry. Did you know there was only public outcry? And it was overwhelming, I guess. No one supported this bill, this ordinance. The writer is Isabella Breda, who is a partisan hack. Is that the nice way to say it?
Did you do that influx on your voice right there, right at the end?
Yeah, I was questioning. I didn't want to be too rude because she's just a bad writer and bad ideologue, but... A partisan hack.
Partisan hack?
Partisan hack.
Partisan hack?
No, partisan hack. I'm definitively declaring it. Partisan hack.
Hack?
No, hack. Just a partisan hack. She's the one who, I want to say 3 months ago, 4 months ago, got all mad with me because I called out one of her stories in which she said there's this large push against having... LGBT clubs on school grounds, and she quoted no one. I think there was maybe one quote from a Facebook page. I was like, where's all the pushback? I haven't heard any of the pushback. It was always intended, that story, to talk about how evil conservatives are and how gay people are not being supported on campus. There's no evidence to back that up, certainly not in the framing that she put that story in. And now we've got another one in which she is framing a story quite disingenuously. She writes, people without homes, I guess we can't say. So we've got the houseless. We have people experiencing homelessness.
Urban campers.
Urban campers. And now simply people without homes. I don't have a home, a house, I guess. I have an apartment.
You're
I don't
homeless.
Own it. Am I? No, you can't say homeless. What do you call renters? People without a home. Doesn't that imply home ownership?
A little bit, yeah. I'm offended as a homeowner.
Maybe
Jason?
Renters now can't go outside even in Edmonds.
It's
That's
illegal.
Bad. But condo owners are okay unless you're late on your HOA payments. People without homes can soon be forced to abandon their belongings and take a bus ticket to a shelter up to 35 miles away under a new Edmonds law. If not, they may be charged with a misdemeanor, punishable by a fine of up to $1,000 or up to 90 days in jail. Alternatives to the fine include completing community service or serving on a work crew. Oh my God, we might actually have homeless people take jobs? Oh, that might actually instill in them a sense of pride about what they can contribute. That could be the spark to get them on the right path. Oh, we wouldn't want to do that. City council members passed an ordinance 5-2 Tuesday, making it unlawful for anyone to occupy public property overnight if, quote unquote, available shelter is refused. I like how they put quotes around available because it's supposed to be, you're supposed to get the sense that it's not reasonable, because the next sentence says, shelter will be considered available if it's within a 35-mile radius of Edmond City Hall and the person is eligible to stay there. Oh, so that, I mean, that's not, that's bad? We're not supposed to put someone inside? Isabella Breda, we should keep people out in parks surrounded by human waste, vulnerable to other criminals who might be out there taking advantage of them? Really? That's what we're doing? Okay. The law can't be enforced if authorities can't find an appropriate place. I'm assuming she supports that part of the bill. Councilmember Laura Johnson proposed adding a caveat that the ordinance could not be implemented until the city partners with Snohomish County to create a hotel respite program, which, of course, is the new strategy that Democrats and liberals and progressives and socialists have adopted. Isn't it odd that all of a sudden that's the new strategy? Everyone is talking about, we got to have homeless hotels. Got to have hotels. Hotels for the homeless. That's an easy way to do it. Yes, we as a government agency, we shut down the economy, driving hotel businesses so low that now we can purchase them for our own use, and we're going to pretend that there's no conflict there, that this wasn't evil, that this wasn't strategic and done on purpose. Quote, services should include detox, counseling, vocational training, transportation to medical appointments, medication assistance, and more, said Laura Johnson. She said she believes council members should take the advice of the city's homelessness task force and begin with creating more shelter. Her proposal failed 5-2. She and Councilmember Susan Payne cast the 2 votes against the new law, which is reason enough not to support them if they ever run for re-election. I added that last part. You can tell by my change in tone. After weeks of debate, council members again heard over an hour of public comment on both sides of the issue. That's so weird, because the subheader of the story made it sound like there was no support. Understand, Edmonds is not a conservative city, and this council is pretty far to the left. Mike Nelson, who's the mayor, is an insane person to me, but on this, I guess I'm on his side. For them to go to this point, and we played the audio yesterday of Councilmember Neil Tibbett basically saying, look, I've seen what's happened in Seattle, and I don't want Edmonds to become Seattle. But there are people like Isabella Breda who wouldn't mind that, because her real goal is to get a job at The Stranger, where she can do exactly the same work, but for less pay, which is hard to believe, because I think the Everett Herald pays basically nothing. So kudos to you, I guess. Can we acknowledge that this might be an attempt by the Everett Herald to live down to expectations that people have about the media? Like they were doing too well, and, you know, they don't want to get too big for the britches, so they're going to go ahead and put out garbage like this. And the Everett Herald has taken a huge swing into the dumpster fire direction, and that's been the case for the last couple of years. In part because they have brought on a whole bunch of different writers who are young, who have very far to the left views, and there's no interest in presenting a nonpartisan story. Some people will rightly point out, although I don't know for certain if that's the case here, but usually a writer doesn't have control over their own headlines. It's a horrible headline. That means some editor, who presumably isn't that young, up-and-coming writer who they just got out of college, but someone who actually has experience. It's an editor who did that. And we would maybe give the writer a pass if the story didn't actually match the dumpster fire headline, and unfortunately it does. Will things get a little bit awkward on Saturday in Leavenworth at the Cascade Conference that I'm participating in on a panel about how the media behaves when one of the guys from the Everett Herald, who apparently co-wrote this, or at least edited, is going to be on the panel? Yes, it might. It will be broadcast live on TVW, though.
How are you prepared for that awkwardness?
Oh, I lean into it. I don't get awkward. I do not get awkward. I will turn to anyone and say, yeah, your newspaper is garbage. I don't know about you. I can't remember his name. I thought I liked him. Jerry something. I could turn to him and say, yeah, the Everett Herald is part of the problem. You guys can choose to be nonpartisan, objective, or you can choose to stay in the lane that you're going now, which is to show your bias. Now, at the end of the day, if you want to be a left-wing newspaper, okay, but then identify as that. Identify as that. Or identify as a conservative. Like, whatever you want to do, I you know, it's on you. There's the Linwood Times out, the website. They are right-leaning, no doubt. They don't hide that. So why is it that they hide it over at the Everett Herald or the Seattle Times or the Tacoma News Tribune? There was a sweep at a Tacoma hilltop neighborhood encampment. We'll talk about it a little bit later on in the show. But, you know, Matt Driscoll, the most mediocre columnist of all the mediocre columnists, he's the meatiest.
The meatiest of them.
Did you see that on Veep season one? That was in season one.
Oh, season one, yeah.
Uh-huh. Of course. Maybe it was season two. I don't remember. It's the meatiest of mediocre columnists. He's out there talking, oh, we are worse off for cleaning up these encampments. They do nothing. They do absolutely nothing. Well, if they do nothing, that's because the homeless people are saying no to the actual offers of shelter. But they do a lot for the communities. They do a ton for the communities because they actually clean them up. Oh, but we're not supposed to want that. That makes you a bad person. You're a NIMBY if you don't want a dangerous encampment filled with drugs and human waste and trash in your neighborhood. Taking over your park. What a bad person. How dare you? You're a monster. You want to bring your kid to a park and have them not step on a needle? You monster. You degenerate. 1-800-465-8770. Speaking of Veep, that's my favorite show in the history of TV. I watch it all the time, and now because Peyton saw the first season finally, now every time I watch it, take a photo and I send it to him via text and I say, you better finish it soon or you're fired. And I found out something about a coworker, brand new to the building, Sherry Ellicker, who hosts a subpar radio show that competes with me.
It's on the one.
Shut up! And I found out, after completely ignoring her in the building every single time I saw her, not making eye contact, not wanting to have any small talk, because I don't like small talk, I found out she's from Veep, and she doesn't know it yet. We're going to have her on in the 5 o'clock hour, and I just said, I need to talk to you, and we're doing it on air. What do we want to talk about? I wouldn't tell her, so she thinks she's going to get yelled at, and in part, she does. I will be yelling. You're not going to want to miss that. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, I will be on the Tucker Carlson show later on this evening. If you're not able to watch it when it airs, go ahead and text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. And I'll send you a link to my YouTube channel, as well as all my social media channels. We post all the videos after they happen. Let's stay on the homeless story just for a bit, because it does impact so many people. And when a council member in Edmond says he doesn't want to see his city turn into Seattle on homelessness, he's 100% correct. And on this topic, we've seen some considerable movement from the mayor of Seattle, Bruce Harrell. And kudos to him for actually clearing out encampments like what happened in Woodland Park. The Woodland Park encampment was cleared. Yay! The kids are super excited. Because it now... Oh, no. Let's bring the encampment back. A guy named Toby is excited, but he plays the bagpipes in the park.
In the park.
Before he wasn't comfortable, but now I guess he's back.
Looks really good. I think Steve's done a good job of cleaning things up. And yeah, I feel better about coming here now.
Oh, no. That's the one downside. At least in this Como report, they didn't actually include him playing the bagpipes.
Interrupt me playing.
Oh, no.
And it just seemed like the homeless kept getting worse, and I didn't feel safe being here.
No! Bagpipes, the ugliest sounding instrument.
I don't get why anyone wants to play the bagpipes.
It is apparently it's hard to do. You have to have really good lung capacity and lung strength.
I don't care. It's so stupid.
Which also doesn't make sense because almost everyone who does it is always fat.
Maybe they got bigger lungs.
They don't. It's fatty lungs.
What do you know now, about human not... anatomy?
I know.
Are you a biologist?
I am. Oh. I read a book once. It's not completely cleaned up yet, the park, and that's going to take some time. Cuomo says city park crews were power washing the roof of one of the buildings Tuesday morning. What were they doing on the roof? Because I know what they were doing elsewhere, but on the roof, did they go up there to do that?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Oh my God. Why not the roof?
Pest control crews were working the grounds. There was sewage work getting done. The grounds that once were covered with tents and tarps have been cleared and now covered in straw, which is what you do to soak up all the poop and the pee and the other stuff.
Like a farm?
Well, when you do it in this context, it's to cover that stuff up. Now, none of the shelters in the park's upper lot area are ready for use. Some of them are missing the picnic tables. Don't know where those went. I'm assuming they were broken off and then burned for fire. Others need complete overhaul, including repair work to sinks and charcoal grills. But still, it's much better than where it was, and people are actually showing up again. The park's horseshoe pit is overgrown. It's not been tended to, but it didn't stop a father and son from playing a match.
And next time we come out, we're going to bring a grass whip and a rake and maybe a little shovel.
Okay, so free labor from Carl, who recalled the conversation he had with his son about the horseshoe pit when he found out it was a homeless encampment.
Today, let's go play horseshoes. He said, I'd love to, but that's an encampment right now.
Well, was that what the kid said? The little tiny kid? Is this the equivalent of, I turned to my son and he looked up at me with tears in his eyes saying, Daddy, what about our rights as human beings? Do we not now have the right, the power to choose? What about young women? And they said, thank you, son, who's in kindergarten.
No, the dad is like 60 and the son is like 22.
Oh, here's the son.
It's definitely a lot better. It's nice to be able to use it again.
You know who he sounds like? He sounds like the way the guy looks in the commercial that I always call out when it's on TV in the studio.
It
starts with an L, the drug.
No, it's isn't it Trulicity?
Trulicity. Well, there's lots of L's in it. Trulicity. That's how the kid must sound. Trulicity is I don't even know what the drug does. I just know it makes
you love that commercial.
A father get back on the right track. I think it's cholesterol, maybe. And the son, just throughout the entire commercial, looks to his dad with like he's inspired. Like, Dad, you're really on the right track. Here, let's go fishing together. Here, let's do literally 1.5 seconds on a treadmill before you are sweating like a hog and then getting a sip of water in a container that's actually really tiny. Or maybe he's just huge. Oh, let's go fix the engine together now that you're taking your Trulicity. Stupid look on his face. That's how the kid sounds. That's how he sounds. This is the kid from the commercial.
It's definitely a lot better. It's nice to be able
inspired.
To use it again.
Yeah, okay. Just keep the bagpiper away. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text. It's a Jason Rancho.